Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Goldbridge Saves Football. Wow, what a show it was on Monday. Our biggest listened and viewed show ever, because we're changing the game and you're changing the game. So keep spreading the message. We're still not going to let go of VAR. Like a terrier on a robber's ankle, we are not letting go until something happens legally. Welcome, Will.
Yes, what a week of football. Monday seems like a distant memory, but the memories are still there. Thank you for all the listens. But I mean, I sat down to watch Liverpool-Everton last night. Probably one of the most enjoyable games of my life. I loved it. Get down and dirty. Get it in the channels. Get it up, Daishi. Loved it.
Need to get out more. We're going to talk about Liverpool. We're going to talk about whether it's time for Salah to go, the new manager situation, the exit of Klopp and why it's gone all wrong. It's the North London derby this weekend. Arsenal title favourites. Well, I suppose they potentially are. Odegaard or Bruno, we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about manager of the year. Will's got a hot take about Aston Villa. We also want to start bringing in other themes around solving football. So you get your comments in. We're going to talk about the 3 p.m. blackout and we're going to start looking at that because I think that's something that we can really get our teeth into. But let's start off with the most overrated 11 of the season, and also we're going to rank players who are wingers with black hair. We're definitely not. We're going to talk about VAR. We're going to come back to that. We're going to circle back in because you responded fantastically well. I've been around this week. I've been in London. We're in London, aren't we? Been in London. I've been on podcasts. I've been everywhere. And it was interesting. I was talking about this on stage yesterday in London. And I said, you know what? This movement we've got around this community and football communities in general is that this generation will not be told what to think. And we spoke about Carragher and Neville on Monday. I just want to add Stuart Pearce, Alan Shearer, even our friend Ben Foster. What is going on with these ex-players and their complete and utter inability to read the room? That Nottingham Forest tweet we've spoken about, but bigger picture, VAR is a bloody joke. We've seen that. Fans have had enough of it. And they're still insisting that responding to it, respect, etc. Look, Forest were right, in my opinion. Respect is earned, in my opinion. And these ex-players are wrong. The world has changed, Will. It's about opinion, and we will not be told what to think anymore.
Well, you sound like you're going to be running for Parliament soon.
Oh, I would.
I'm ready to go. I think it's a generational thing as well, isn't it? Which is quite surprising given your elder statesman sort of...
I'm Gen Z. I'm Gen Z.
You can't be Gen Z at 52.
Apparently I'm Generation X.
Oh, yeah.
Generation X.
Well, yeah, you are telling those people to suck it, really, aren't you?
Because but not mine.
Well, but no, I think it's a generational thing because it's just even when they're speaking about it as well. I think Carragher was speaking about it on one of the other podcasts.
They're doubling down.
Yeah, and I think they were speaking about it in terms of like their instant reaction, and that tells you all you need to know, isn't it? Because they're of that generation, they're of that fame, they're of that where they've come from and their background. That is their reaction to it. Immediately they think, right, Nottingham Forest in the wrong, but what really is the issue? And we'd rather not talk about VAR, would we not? We'd rather not talk about the PGMOL, always hard for me to say. We'd rather not talk about Howard Webb and Michael Owen, trust me. But it is becoming an issue. And, you know, even last night in the Liverpool game, and we go back to the commentary one, VAR is ruining their moments as well. Yeah. Because, to be fair, Neville pointed out rightly in commentary, they're so worried about making a mistake that you go over, like, even the goal that was allowed, that was another 3 minutes, and you're just waiting around, and it's a piss poor. But...
Well, the penalty in that game, actually, was like, he was miles offside and they took about 2 minutes to do it. And and there was another one. And I'm like, it's offside and they're taking so long. But I think that this is an interesting point in the sense that we've been here a few times on this podcast, and I guarantee in a couple of weeks I'll be calling VAR out on X and people will be saying, oh, Goldbridge, stop moaning, because that's how they survive. It's the old, let's go to the Winchester and wait for it all to blow over. And that's the tactics of VAR. That's the tactics, not VAR, the PGMOL. They have no legitimate response because they have no legitimacy and they have no integrity. And they basically are, let's speak to our friends in the media to protect us and wait for something to happen. Oh, look, Liverpool are going to blow the title. We're free to make our mistakes again. And it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. So well done to all of you for having your opinion, whether you agree with it or not, and keep spreading the word on Goldbridge Saves Football, because we're going to keep having these conversations about the big talking points because nobody else will do it. And what I predict, Will, is that one of these ex-players, or maybe some of these ex-players, are going to have a light switch moment and go, hold on a minute, if I say VAR's bad, I'll get really popular.
Yeah, and I do think it is elitism as well, because they're speaking from the player perspective, but football is for the fans, so the fans' opinion should matter more. And I don't think
they respect fans.
No, I do think they respect fans.
They respect what fans represent, which is money.
No, I think they're just so far removed from it because...
So far up something.
No, I just think they're so far removed from being a fan.
They need to remove themselves from something and smell the coffee.
Yes, yeah. Have you had a coffee this morning? You've had about four coffees. You're ready to go.
Four coffees.
I just think, they're so far removed from being a fan because of a long playing career, then going into the media. Or it's very hard for them to be fans, so I understand that, but it doesn't, you know, when Carragher was saying it or Neville was saying it's about...
Or like Shearer. Let's bring other names in. Ben Foster, our friend.
Yeah,
he might not be after this.
No, yeah, we love him. But I just think, they can't have an objective opinion. Not an objective opinion. They can't have a view of the fan, but then I suppose they're not there to be fans. But then they get criticised for being fans when they're on this.
You're saying is they've played the game, but they haven't played the game of life because they've lived in a bubble all their life where people go, you're great, you're fantastic. Ooh, can I wash your car? Ooh, do you want this pair of boots? Oh, you're so great. You're so great. Here's all this money. You're right. You're wrong.
Yeah, but that's your lifestyle now.
You're wrong. In the sense that they are wrong because they've completely and utterly... look, PGMOL, mainstream media, what a surprise they get it wrong. They're a dying breed.
What is mainstream media?
They're dying breed. Journalists who've been to university to get a blue tick.
I went to uni.
Mainstream outlets that have got producers that have been there for 30 years. That's a dying breed. They can't touch the modern, the modern audiences. But players, what's their excuse? I just think that they're being advised wrong. I don't think they've got any experience of what it is to be a football fan. And I don't think they've got any experience because at the end of the day, if you're paid good money to sit on a podcast or a panel on TV, you're getting paid well, aren't you?
Yeah.
Are you really bothered about, Forest have been robbed again, or Wolves have been robbed again?
Well, that's when it comes to the... Like, last night, wasn't it? They were saying, obviously, there was two Liverpool fans and players in the studio. Kelly Cates, who's obviously... I think Kelly Cates is great, to be fair, so I'll take her out of the conversation. And Wayne Rooney was sort of the only one offering the Everton angle, wasn't he, from that perspective? So when you go further down the table... I just think, yeah.
I think it's lazy. I think in the fandom, you get real passion. You know, a Liverpool fan can be passionate about, even if Man United should have had a penalty, they can look at it and go, for the greater good. I think a lot of fans now, rivalry is obviously massive, but I think you could watch, if you're in the same league, you could watch a Villa game and go, that was a blatant handball. Villa should have got a penalty.
You can still do that without being in the same league.
But what I'm saying is, like, I think football fans look at it now and go, that'll be us next week. This is not good for football.
This is an epidemic.
Yeah, it is. And I think that this, where they went wrong is they just sort of like went, well, the laws of the game really are being brought into disrepute because Forrest have put a tweet out. But this is the modern world. This is the new media.
Yeah, but also that gets criticised very readily because, you know, like last night, it's very hard to, if you don't know about fan media and fan entertainment, and then someone tunes into you like I did last night and Onana makes a mistake, and they could be like, well, this is, you know, why is he being like this and next? But that, if you are a fan, that is your true response, isn't it? When you're reacting to the game. Niall came with me to the Blues game. You've never seen the side of me like it. I mean, I was giving it the linesman absolute
authentic.
Pelter.
It's authentic. Yeah. And respect is...
But doing that in front of a camera and that becoming the new dawn is a new thing for an older generation.
But it does need to happen without the swearing, because respect is earned. You cannot hide behind...
Why can't you swear?
In any walk of life... Good point. We'll come back to that. First one you've made. But you, in any walk of life, you cannot demand respect. It is earned. For a police officer on the street, they can't walk up to Will and say, what's that you're carrying? It's drugs again, isn't it? And he go, no, I just like sherbet, taste it. You know, that's a preconception. Respect is earned. Just because you're in a position of authority, don't make assumptions. It's the same thing in football. Referees should be respected, but only if that respect is earned. And this season, they've damaged themselves. They're damaged goods. And they should respect the people that pay their wages. Football fans. Look, if referees want respect, the road they're going down is people are going to switch off and walk away. And then what you're going to do? Respect is earned, and This has been a bad week when it comes to those in power. And when I say in power, I talk about the traditional means of projecting punditry on football, which is ex-players. I think they've had a bad week. And if I was their PR, I'd be saying, you need to be looking at listening to podcasts like this, ignoring the fact that you don't like Goldbridge, but actually what he's talking about
is... The lad's a good lad.
The other lad's a good lad. But really, you've missed the room. It's the fans that count. And that's of course, is all of you lot.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've not really thought of it this week, and it's not a criticism, it's just the fact of life of, like, it's very hard for them to be, like, Neville is a football player, then a football owner, a business owner, and a podcaster. So it's very hard for him to be a fan, same with Carragher. Even Ben spoke about it, didn't he? Like, when he retired, it was, like, so nice to go to the pub on a Saturday to watch Gillette and, you know, like, go to a game and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, it's a defence. They live in a bubble, but the mistake is to project that you know best.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's gone wrong. You can't speak for the fans if you're not speaking for the fans, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you can't speak for the fans if you're not listening to the fans.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I've done really well, one thing we've done really well on here is that you are researching, you're looking at what people are saying on social media. Yeah. It's not just, you're never going to hit the target if you just go, I know best. And this week, I feel that
Was your natural response as well. It wasn't like you went to research fans think.
Because I love football, etc. But look, we've probably spoken about that enough. But the reason it's so important to bring it in, because some of you were saying talk about selling Salah, and we're going to go on to that now. But the reason it's so important is in current society and in current football, we're so flip-flop in the sense that we move from one thing to another. This has been going on for 9 months. The game is in the mud and these decisions are going to happen again this weekend, next weekend, etc. And what's happened in response to another major incident in the Premier League, the PGMR have just gone and hidden in a cave. They've not done anything. No statements, no we're going to try and change anything. The same thing after the Liverpool goal that was onside. Multiple times, they just hide away and wait for another story to come and rescue them. There is no accountability and it really is wrong. Like, we really do need to keep on at this because it's wrong to just keep sweeping our opinions under the carpet.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I hate to say that because I don't really like you.
We won't be agreeing on other stuff. Okay, let's get back to the football, though. Let's talk about the title race. We're not going to agree on this because Will has always said Liverpool are title favourites. Are you still saying that now?
No.
Turbo Pratt.
Yeah, absolute turbo Shandy Pratt. I think last night was the... Liverpool have been playing bad for a couple of weeks, haven't they? I think Fulham sort of mastered it. I sat down and I was with a friend who was a Liverpool fan. I had to watch the second leg of Atalanta and they were piss poor in that, weren't they? And it's just like this slowly... like falling down of performances. I think they've just been slipping away. And then last night was the perfect sort of antithesis of that, wasn't it, with Sean Dyche coming out with that. I mean, that first half performance I could watch again. It was like WrestleMania 40. I actually maybe enjoyed it more than night two of WrestleMania 40, and you know how much you enjoyed WrestleMania 40. No, it's the end, but it's the end of the title race, but then it also feels like the end of an era for, with Klopp obviously going, Salah 1 year left on his contract, probably should go. Speculation around Darwin Nunes 2 years into it, not cutting the mustard. It's a sad day if you're a Liverpool fan because I think it's thrown forward. That could be the actual turning point where you think, oh, that's where everything changed.
It's such a weird situation because I have an admiration for Klopp, which is a Man United fan. It's weird, but I know a lot of United fans feel the same. He's done a fantastic job there and he does deserve better, but I'm glad he's not going to get it. I don't want him to win the title because it would be 20 times the same as United. But look, I suppose I'm right. You probably won't admit it, but I did say...
No, but how can you be right when you flip-flop more than
I don't flip-flop
seller on...
Get in the comments and tell me when I flip-flop, because
you,
I don't...
No, you've definitely had Arsenal at one point.
But
Liverpool.
I said week to week it will change based on results, but I've always said Man City will win the league from day one. I have always said that.
Yeah, but you said Man United would win the Champions League.
But, yeah, I was drunk. It's the video
evidence. You've got to do that again.
Okay. But I think in relation to Liverpool, there is almost a... I said it about Liverpool. I said that because I'd experienced it with Sir Alex 10 years before, he'd said he was going at the end of the season and our results just plummeted. And you'd think it would be a galvanising thing for a manager that's done so well and the players love him that if he says he's going, right, we're going to win every game, we're going to be invincible. But it doesn't seem to work like that. And I did put that warning out that with Klopp announcing it in January, I think it's... inexplicable, some of their results. Atalanta shouldn't have happened. Crystal Palace shouldn't have happened. Even against Everton, Everton were good, but Liverpool should have scored two or three. They should have at least got a draw. It's like, it's not that they're playing badly.
Do you think he's at fault for doing it then? Because ultimately,
I don't know how you decide. I mean, look, it was 10 years ago. Sir Alex did it. Well, the world's different. Everybody's on social media now. Could he have kept that quiet? The players would. No, I don't think he can keep it quiet. I don't think he can. But I think it's. I don't know. Would they have won the title if he was still saying? I don't think it would. They would have done anyway.
Well, it came into the point with Carragher was saying last night about Liverpool. Have Liverpool overperformed? He thinks Liverpool have overperformed
100%.
This season.
100%. Yeah, well, I was. That's where I was going to go next. I think if you look at this Liverpool team, and we've spoken about it across the season, and I remember saying it in August, what Klopp's done with that midfield over one summer.
Yeah,
we were well ahead of the game with that, saving football, because we said to change your entire midfield in one summer is unheard of. Yeah. And he did. Yeah. And it's been amazing. And I think that's been the fundamental reason that Liverpool have got where they are. Nobody would have put Liverpool where they are a year ago.
No.
He's basically doing a Sir Alex in the sense that he's one team's come to an end, he's kept some of it, and he's building a new team. So to win the Premier League this year would be way ahead of schedule. I feel that this team will be stronger next season, like Arsenal, and maybe win it next year or the year after. But the problem is he's going this year. It's way ahead of schedule, and they've had to try and deliver something ahead of schedule for Klopp. But actually, I think that team is transitioning into the next big Liverpool team, or is it? Because when Klopp goes, that project's over.
Because even, you know, I know Van Dijk retracted those sort of comments that he made or clarified them, but there definitely must be a feeling there if you're Van Dijk, Trent,
if you're going to go
Salah.
Go
I mean, it's the time to sort of get off the train, isn't it?
Because do you think it's time for Salah to go?
I think so. With 1 year left on his contract, and if there is that sort of money coming from Saudi Arabia, you know, I've done it myself as Tottenham manager, got that 110 mil for Heung-min Son. I love the fella, captain of the team, but I said, I've got to take this money, Son. And he said, oh, I love you. And I said, see you later. And I think
this is Football Manager, by the way. It's not real life. Don't worry, Spurs fans.
I think, from especially with Edwards coming in as well, from a business decision as well, and you're thinking, right, if you're getting that and a new manager, there is that bit of like, you don't want to go too Moisey with it, but you want to carve yourself a new, like, this is my new Mohamed Salah, this is my new centre midfielder, this is my new centre back. So I think they will cash in, but then if it becomes so public, does that take the price down a little bit?
It's such a weird situation, because when you look at United when Sir Alex left, dynasty, the team was old. And a lot of Liverpool fans have said, yeah, but Klopp's leaving us in a better situation. But will that be good or bad? Because he's also leaving you when the project's not over. Like, it's his project and he's leaving for his own personal reasons, which must be respected and are always right. But that is his ideal plan is not to leave that team.
Yeah.
You know, you want to follow that. His project is not completed, and it looks like a great project. If Klopp stayed next year, they'd be better and better. So that he's going to go, and some of these players would go. Should Salah go? Look, I think Salah's been underrated in a weird way. I think he's one of the best players in the world and consistently should be competing for the Ballon d'Or and never is, which I just find weird. Why has Salah never been in the, you know, a Ballon d'Or winner with what he's done in this league? He's a fantastic player. Is it time for him to go? I mean, he could easily stay for another year and he'd still be Liverpool's best player, but with 1 year left on his contract, if he wants to go, you should let him go. That's what I would say. But I still think he's a very, very good player. And I also think that one of the big problems with Liverpool was that hamstring injury he got in January. I don't think he's fully recovered from that. And but he's missed chances, but there's been so many chances missed.
Yeah, I think it's like two separate issues, isn't it? You can't attribute, I'm not saying sell him because of his form, because
isn't it?
Have to look back at the last 5 years and the amount of time he scored 30 goals a season. It won't be till he's left that we really appreciate that. I think it's more down to the timing. 1 year left on his contract. You've got a new guy coming in that higher up position. Is it technical director or director of football? But, you know, someone who's ultimately going to be controlling those decisions. A new coach, new manager coming in. So it feels just like perfect timing.
It is. I mean, look, there is absolutely no sympathy from a Man United fan for Liverpool, but I can look at it pragmatically as a football fan and say, this could have been Klopp's last hurrah, a Premier League, a Europa League, a Carabao Cup, real big buzz. He walks away. He's not going to get that. And then the uncertainty afterwards, a Liverpool without a Klopp and a Salah next season. I don't care whether you're Jesus Christ coming in, it's going to be a hard gig.
Yeah, and famously he had a very good comeback, didn't he?
Yeah, Yeah, but maybe Klopp will come back in a couple of years. I don't know. But get in the comments. Let us know. We're going to do a poll on Spotify. Is it time for Salah to leave Liverpool? Respectfully, none of this get him out, whatever nonsense that you see these clips on YouTube of these Liverpool fans who are going absolutely mad at Klopp and Salah. I'm just like, what? You know, have some fucking respect. And I'm a Man United fan.
Also, the one is like the getting the manager right is in terms of like their positioning, because when Klopp came in, they were very much like in that top six, but on the outside looking in. Now they are like in a top three with Arsenal. So you've got to be very wise with your decision of manager, because you need to go and stay at that level. You can't be like, right, you know what Man United are going to do. It's like, we've got 3 years here to try and build. Like, you can't do that with Liverpool.
There.
But who are you going to bring into? Because I think they were saying it, wherever I was listening, but like, you need someone to go against Pep.
Well, what are we thinking about this slot? What are we thinking about this slot taking Klopp's slot?
Yeah, I don't know too much about him, and I think that Eredivisie, which he's obviously done very well in, but
well, let's just say he's another Ten Hag. Like, he's done very well in Eredivisie.
Yeah, but he's not even to that level.
A very
level,
good
is he?
Standard of football.
Not European credentials.
I think the big problem with Liverpool is if you had a prime Mourinho, and obviously I'm not saying the style of football or Mourinho fits Liverpool at all. He doesn't, but you need it's a bit like when Sir Alex went, you need a personality that can get and grab that football club. Because one thing about Klopp and the media and the fan base is that he has an aura, and he has that aura because he knows what Liverpool is all about. And not only is he a great coach, he's a guy you want to go for a pint with. Now, you could bring a really good coach in who doesn't have the personality for Liverpool, and they've got, it's such a big chasm to fill for Liverpool. It could look.
Do you think they're almost going to go like? And I saw a jokey tweet, but not to this level of like get Gerrard in for an interim year. It wasn't that, but like, do you think they're going to go for an interim manager with the knowledge? Like, because there's no one out there, is there, that fills that void?
Dynasties can crumble.
Yeah,
Dynasty
did crumble.
Man United, we've gone 13 years. But I mean, I was saying this the other day. Actually, somebody said to me the other week, if I said to you in 2013, when Sir Alex Ferguson's walking off to the Guard of Honour, you won't get even near a Premier League title for 13 years, not even a title race, what would you do? And I'd say, what went wrong?
Yeah.
Like, how has that happened? So these things can happen.
And I'd go, that's football.
That's football. It's going to be, look, it's a sad end to Klopp's reign, which ultimately is a major success. He's done an amazing job. But bottom line, he's going to come third and have a Carabao Cup, which is exactly what Ten Hag did for Man United last season.
Yeah,
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. And like, I get that, you know, rival fans are celebrating the demise of, you know, with Trent coming out saying that he's aiming for a quadruple, and then 2 weeks later he's...
But is that not the right thing to say when Jurgen Klopp, one of their greatest ever managers, is going to go? I just think that...
I really like Klopp and the Liverpool.
Yeah, the bottling of the title is irrelevant because they're probably ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
But Klopp's we don't know why Klopp's going, but he's going too early. Like, he's literally leaving a project too early, and he's obviously got his reasons, and maybe they'll become more clear in time. But
what do you reckon the first podcast he does is?
God, we say he's football. He loves it.
Let's be realistic. What do you think the first podcast he'll do is?
He'll do Neville, won't he?
You reckon?
Nah.
He
will.
No, I reckon he could do Lineker's, actually. I think he'd be more Lineker than Neville.
Don't know. But look, he is going too soon. And I think that's... It's all about...
But is he, though? He's been... How long has he been there?
But it's all about the timings, isn't it? As I go back to it, it's all about the timings. Like, he's building a team there. It's not complete.
But even this might have excelled in terms of his eyes, especially that midfield. Like, when you miss out on Jude Bellingham, when you miss out on your next target, and then obviously McAllister was there, but then you're like left with Endo, and then he's done so well this season, and then the youngsters have overperformed, especially in that Carabao Cup final. So it's like...
It's a hard gig,
isn't
it?
Did he even expect to be in this position?
It's a hard gig, because he could carry on doing it for 3 years and not win the league, even with that team. So Liverpool gone, no title. No. Absolutely not. Yeah, it's done. I mean, I think they need Man City and Arsenal to lose a couple of games, which is...
Well, it's even the fixture list as well, isn't it?
Not going to happen. Not going to happen at all.
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors.
We're not going to really talk about Man City because no one's interested. We've checked the demographics, and Man City, when we mention them, the listeners drop like that. So quickly get it back up again for Arsenal. We're going to talk about the North London Derby. Oh, it's a juicy one.
Yeah.
It's a Sunday roast. What is it? Pork, beef, lamb?
What is your favourite roast meat?
It's a bit like a Saturday takeaway for me. People always say, "What do you prefer, Indian, Chinese, fish and chips?" And I always go, "It depends on the mood." So at the moment, I've got a craving for Yorkshire pudding, so it's got to be roast beef.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think you can have Yorkshire pudding is very versatile. It's your James Milner, like that.
It's a roast beef.
Yeah. No, I like beef when done well. I tell you, we've got a real flavouring for it at the moment. Lovely bit of lamb.
Bit fatty.
No, when it's done well, Mark.
No. Anyway, I don't like lamb much. But the Sunday roast is going to be whoever loses this game. Considering Spurs, if they lose, I think Villa are going to be too far ahead for fourth. And I think if Arsenal lose, that's it, Man City then. So the stakes are high. From beef to steak, the stakes are high. Which way do you think this is going to go? And Arsenal as well, as much as people will moan, and I think Man City will win the league, Arsenal as well are title favourites. They're 4 points clear. Yes, they've got two games in hand, Man City, but points on the board, playing really well.
Yeah.
Arsenal are favourites, but this is a really tough game, and it's at Tottenham.
This is one of those games we keep reflecting, well, I definitely do keep reflecting back on last year, this time of the season, those games at the Emirates where they crumbled under the pressure, and, you know, that game against Chelsea, which could have been one of those. Not only did they beat them, they absolutely demolished Chelsea in a London derby. So they've got a North London derby away, and I think this is almost like the proof of the Yorkshire pudding for Arteta to be like, this team has come on leaps and bounds from last year, not in terms of playing style, but just in terms of that mentality, that grit, when it is going to get tough, that they can come through it. And I think Timber's back now, isn't it, as well? So they've got no injuries, unless something's happened since Tuesday.
Arsenal, I don't know how they've done it. I don't know whether it's luck.
It's that dog.
But the fact that they've kept so many key players fit all season, and then you look at United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Newcastle, Brighton, they've been decimated by injuries, and Arsenal have managed. I mean, look, if Arsenal had lost Declan Rice or Saka for 2 or 3 months, you're going to really struggle to do what they've done. So in some ways you think they've got to grab this opportunity, because maybe next season they won't be as lucky. I don't know. But how do you call this game? How do you call this game?
Because I actually think it'd be very convincing Arsenal.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it'd be. Like, I know everything, you go into the cliches, if it's a derby, it's going to be a tense affair. But like, I think Arteta will know how to beat my best mate Big Ange, and I think because he's so committed to that philosophy, and the way they've been playing, I think it'd be like 2-3-0 Arsenal.
I think if Tottenham was from the northeast, way, eh, man, you're right. But I think that because it's a North London derby, it's the same as going Everton against Liverpool. Oh, Liverpool will win. But the whole Merseyside derby.
No, but that was off the back of Liverpool playing like absolute garbage, wasn't it, for a couple of weeks?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think it's I'm sort of swaying towards Spurs.
Are you actually?
Because I think in the Emirates game, Spurs played better than Arsenal. Arsenal are brilliant at the moment. I thought the Wolves result was so understated and underrated, because to go there and win 2-0, and then the Chelsea game was, I mean, Odegaard was just amazing. Arsenal should beat Spurs, but I just think the derby, the fact that Spurs can't afford, this is it's not just stopping Arsenal's title race, it's not just the North London derby, it's also Champions League football, they can't afford to lose
it.
I don't want a draw. A draw is horrible.
Yeah, it's
like
horrible,
we don't want a draw for either.
Like, I want Tottenham to win.
It's got to be a fight to the death. If there's 2 minutes to go, I think Ange and Arteta say, look, you attack, we attack.
Gloves down, yeah.
Let's have a winner here.
Yeah.
Let's just go all for it. Because a draw will kill Arsenal's title hopes, and a draw will kill the Champions League hopes for Spurs.
To be fair, we picked on like Trossard and Zinchenko, but specifically Trossard. I mean, he's been absolutely brilliant in the last couple of games, hasn't he? And like, if you can keep strengthening that squad, that it's perfect for them. Like, this is why Arsenal are in the pole position, because Klopp's going, Arteta hopefully can get at Pep, but he's...
Arteta's not going to Barca anymore because Xavi's staying.
Exactly. And he knows, right? So he'll know going into this transfer window exactly who he wants. So, like, who is their Declan Rice signing?
Got to buy a striker, aren't they?
But I don't know if they have.
No, they have got to buy a striker. I'd get rid of Jesus, because I think what they need to do is they bring Partey in that midfield, makes such a difference.
Yeah.
I don't like Havertz and Odegaard.
Yeah, but Havertz has been absolutely on
fire. But Havertz up front.
Yeah.
You can't play him in the midfield. I would bring. I mean, I don't know why they're not interested in Tony. Maybe it's a personality thing, I don't know. But he would be a good player that he wouldn't necessarily start every game, but you could alternate him with a Havertz. I think they need somebody who's just an out-and-out goal scorer. You don't need to start every game, because Havertz offers something a little bit different.
But that's why I think next year is so exciting, because they they should be in a position where they've got that recruitment right. I mean, they were speaking about the Martin Odegaard recruitment, which now is coming up trumps, but it was off the back of, like, not a failed wonder kid, but like, is this guy going to live up to his potential? He's been at Madrid.
Yeah.
But they were saying about Edu not finding him, but, you know, like, back in the decision. So I think they're in a really prime position to challenge City, I wouldn't say properly next year, because they have done it this year, but, like, you know, those title battles that we'd know from Man United, Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool, everyone like that. So
the big problem is, even if Arsenal beat Spurs, we're probably, well, Man City are playing tonight when we're recording this.
I think something could come
we'll
up tonight.
We'll assume that Man City have beaten Brighton, then they've got Forest, we assume they'll beat them. You're running out of games for where Man City are going to drop points.
Yeah, but Spurs game, isn't it?
Yeah, and Spurs probably, by that point, might be not fighting for fourth. So, no. Yeah. But look, all Arsenal can do is win. I mean, look, the interesting thing is, from a United perspective, they're playing us in a couple of weeks, and I still look at it and go, if Arsenal beat Spurs and Man City have dropped a point, and I know if Arsenal beat us, they're going to win the league, there's a part of you going, maybe a Fulham or a Bournemouth at home might not be a bad thing just for now.
Well, then, because Tottenham play Man City, don't they?
Yeah.
And like, they could be in a position to
help Arsenal.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Spurs can help Arsenal as well. So
it's a tricky one. We mentioned Martin Odegaard there.
Yeah.
A certain Bruno Fernandes was back in form last night.
Yeah, played very, very well. I know what you're going to say.
It's either or. Martin Odegaard or Bruno Fernandes.
It's hard because I'm going to isolate Man United fans if I say, yeah, it's Bruno.
Well, that doesn't matter because you haven't got a large platform to isolate.
Yeah, I don't really have a very big platform of United fans to upset. But I think Odegaard or Bruno Fernandes is, in a grown-up situation, Bruno Fernandes hasn't been at his best for probably 18 months. And Odegaard's been a revelation for 18 months. What I like about Odegaard is he's a magician. He's magnetic. He's his sole purpose. And some of the passes he played against Chelsea, he just wants to create for his attackers. And he wants to keep the ball. And that's why the possession's so high. And I think in the modern game as a number 10, that's your job. Now, Bruno Fernandes, I love Bruno Fernandes, but what he does is he's a bit of a Hollywood passer. He will take the risks. He's openly said that. And he's openly said on the international break, he's not been at his best for a while. So we're judging Odegaard, who is right at the top of his game, and Bruno, who has been struggling in a struggling team. So, of course, at the moment, Odegaard is the better player. If I was building a team over the next 3 years, again, Odegaard's got the age on him as well. So I think Odegaard at the moment is ahead of Bruno. But if we can get the Bruno Fernandes back, that, and none of this look at the stats, Mark, because somebody will say Bruno's got better stats than Odegaard. Well, that's why you shouldn't trust stats then, because on the eye test, Odegaard's better this season. So I think Bruno Fernandes is a player that's not playing to his best. And I know it was only Sheffield United, but the goal and the assist and the trying, he just seemed a lot better. Now, if you can get back to that, there's a conversation to be had, but I'd give it Odegaard at the moment.
Well, and also, like, you speak about the difference in the age, but that's where Martin Odegaard feels like he's showing more matureness and more leadership qualities than a Bruno.
Well, 29, Fernandes. I think he's 30 this year, Bruno. I mean, it's no age for a number 10. You're not really somebody that sprints 100 metres in 9 seconds. I mean, if you are, you're breaking the record. So I think it's, you can play till you're 36. So the age thing isn't really thing, but it's more about what you say. He's the maturity, and he's the captain, isn't he? They're both captains as well. Look, it is a lot closer than we're talking, but I just think this season Odegaard is purring, as you would say.
Yeah, no, very good. And just very enjoyable to watch, where, like,
yeah,
I'll
watch lovely
Bruno
player.
Fernandes turns me off a bit when he's like, I don't know, it's just something about Bruno Fernandes.
I'd love the experiment. Drop Bruno into Arsenal's team and Odegaard into our team for a month. Let's do it for May, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's save football. We're going to put Odegaard in United and Bruno in Arsenal. It'd be great to watch, though.
No, we need Arsenal to
be. This is what we need to start doing. I know La Liga, have you heard about La Liga? They're going to start playing games in the States.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Forget that. Start taking players halfway through the season from another and swapping for a month.
They can have games in the Premier League, but it has to be like Crystal Palace versus Luton. They can have those games in America.
I mean, somebody was on about it last night, what I think about that, because it is quite a political thing, isn't it? If La Liga start playing games in the States, what does that mean? Because the Premier League will get itchy feet and go, oh, that's
our market. Game.
Yeah. I think it's bollocks. I think you've got to have, in anything, you've got to have confidence in your brand, in what you are. as a person, got to have confidence about who you are. You can't look at Angry Ginge doing Girth and Turf and say, let's do Goldbridge Saves Football pro clubs. Yeah. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
Be confident in what you're doing. And I think, and he's doing very, very well.
Called Lanky and Spanky.
No, we don't know that. But with La Liga taking games to the States, I really hope the Premier League go, forget about it. You know, we're not going to do it. So what? Because
But you can't, like, I don't agree with it, but you can't build the Premier League as the world league, which they're so reliant on these international markets.
But it's the Super League then, isn't it?
No, I don't think it is. I don't agree with it, I'm saying. But, like, I can see why, that, you know, with the NFL, like, there's the allowance of teams going out for... what you have to do, the one game a season. I know,
but the NFL is very different because the NFL is the NFL. There's no other National Football League for American football.
No, I know,
there?
But the Premier League is positioned as that. Do you know what I mean? The Premier League is the NFL to a lot of people.
I've got faith in the American fans to see through the bullshit, to be honest. Is Barcelona and Real Madrid going to be going to...
No.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. That's what we
said. You're being played. Basically, what's happening here is the reason La Liga are looking to take games to the States is because the States is a big lucrative market. Yeah. And they've messed up their league through greed, and now they're going to do something else for greed. What La Liga should have done, and we don't always sing the praises of the Premier League, but brand specific, it is elite. And what they did with the Premier League is they said... we're going to create this pyramid of football where everybody in the Premier League will earn money. We're not going to have a situation where the top six are super rich and then the teams at the bottom are basically bankrupt. And at La Liga, all the TV money just goes to basically Real Madrid and Barcelona. And Barcelona have taken that money and put themselves into financial difficulty. What La Liga should have done is a Premier League model where the money is more shared out, you have a more competitive league and everybody grows together. Look,
but we're
teams like Bournemouth can go and buy players that Atletico Madrid can't buy. And that's because of the Premier League. It doesn't help the Championship.
No, exactly. But and also it comes off the back of, we were talking about the other day, like 6-7 now for Manchester City.
Yeah.
Like,
but that's the 1-1-5, isn't it?
No, but also in a position of a top four, a top six. Like there's
problems.
Yeah.
It's
but if you're a Crystal Palace, if you're a Bournemouth, even if you're a West Ham, like you can... if there's the opportunity to grow markets, which grows revenue, which grows being able to bring better players in, which ultimately gets you up the league, surely they should be allowed to have those opportunities. Like Jacksonville Jaguars, in comparison to the NFL, very small team, so they committed early to the UK project and they probably reaped the rewards from that, not in terms of a Super Bowl, but like you could see why that would be attractive for a for the lower teams to try and take that. There's a point where I think it's Liverpool, Man United and then Wrexham in America in terms of brand. Like, so you've got a League One team that's got more brand club awareness in the whole of North America because of their owners and a documentary.
It's an interesting one. I'm sure it's going to create a lot of comments. What are your thoughts if La Liga does start taking games to the States? My only thought would be the Premier League should just hold its ground. Like, we've got a very, very competitive league. It's watched by everybody around the world. It's a winning brand. And I think the minute you start taking competitive games to other countries, the question has to be, well, why can't we play a game in Delhi? Why can't we play a game in Sydney? Why can't we play a game in Paris? And the minute you start doing that, you're in big, big, big
trouble.
I wouldn't
be surprised if the Champions League went that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Champions League could do that.
Also, I think America can have Premier League, but they've got to earn it. So they've got to have the EFL first. They can have Salford versus Harrogate on a Tuesday. If they pack up then, that's when they can have the bigger games. They've got to earn it.
Exactly.
In their stripes.
Let's talk. There was a couple of things we wanted to talk about around Aston Villa, obviously, because they're going to, I think, get fourth place. Unai Emery.
No.
Look, I was asked a question about the Ballon d'Or today and whether it will go to Jude Bellingham. That's something for a future conversation. But I think if Real Madrid win the Champions League, he's got to be hot favourite for that. But I think we're here to save football. We're going to do Premier League Team of the Season in the next few weeks. Read a lot of your comments about it. Keep putting them in. But are we not in a situation here where we're almost on a precipice or whatever they call it?
I know what you mean.
I know, I've got it wrong.
Yeah, it's fine.
But a cliff edge in the sense that, again, we're talking about the powers that be, whoever vote these awards, journalists, players themselves, players, player of the year. I don't want to see Premier League Team of the Season with Kyle Walker, no, Ruben Diaz and the same players when you could be putting in Ben White, Anthony Gordon, Cole Palmer. There's so much choice. Vicario, Adogi. There's so much choice this year. And I think these players who normally go, I'll just put De Bruyne, I'm off to play golf. They're in trouble because if you go and pick the same old players, it's going to look really bad on them. Same with the journalists as well. And same with manager of the year. I don't think, look, Pep's not going to win a treble. So you can't just tick Pep.
No.
He's won six out of the last, he's going to win six out of the last seven. He's got more money. He's got the best squad. Like everyone predicted they were going to win the league. So why would you give, how can you give manager of the year to the guy, even I said, I think they'd have it won by Christmas. So take Pep out of the equation. Manager of the year, if Arteta wins the league, it's got to be him. If he finishes second, he's not won anything else. Yeah. Klopp, it's gone. Emery.
Yeah.
Brilliant first season at Arsenal. Champions League football. For me, is there anybody else more deserving than Unai Emery for manager of the year as things stand before the final whistle?
No, and I think that's right to go through the top four and almost say like those are the targets and they've matched those, because for those awards, I always think about over expectation.
Relative.
Delivering over that. Like even when I was at the EFL Awards the other week, manager of the season, Kieran McKenna won it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because going into a championship season with Leeds, Leicester and Southampton and Ipswich.
No parachute payments.
No parachute payments.
He's jumping out of a plane with no parachute.
Exactly. He's no diving and he's taking them all with him because they've come straight up from League One and they've overperformed. So as much as it pains me to say, I probably would have to be an Emery. Mm. Like if Luton,
or an Ange if he'd
done it. If Luton stay up, I think Rob Edwards is in with a very... I think Gary O'Neill should be in with a very good shout.
I think if VAR hadn't screwed him out of 10 points, he'd be in with a very good shout.
Because you look at the... Where I had him in my bottom three. Did you have him...
Did they lose last night, though, to Bournemouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that time of year on the beach, isn't it?
They, I think... Yeah, it's over expectation. When it comes to Emery, I think it's very telling the sort of timing of his contract. I think Bayern Munich sniffing around. Like there was even links with like Liverpool and other ones. So I think Villa have done well to keep him... Yeah, at the club, and it's built around him, isn't it? Like he's got the director of football and he's got everything. It's built in, but I think that's the perfect level for him.
But I think with Unai Emery signing that contract, I mean, you get these prats like Goldstein on Talk Sport saying if Man United come in, he'd walk to Manchester. I mean, come on. I know he's a Man United fan, but
you'd be punching up straight
away.
That's
the sort of comment that just disrespects Man United, Villa. He had a go at Arsenal. They got rid of him. Too soon or too quick, whatever. He's gone back to Spain. He's proven himself again. And Villa have gone, here you go. And they've given him the project. They've given him the trust. And he's basically excelled from day one.
Yeah.
To walk away from that.
Well, then people don't forget that it's not like they're like pissing in a pot. They've got billionaire owners.
And they're in the Champions League.
They're probably in a better place than Newcastle are because... and obviously getting Champions League football, I think they'll be able to maintain a top four position more than Newcastle, because although I think Villa when Emery came in was a false position, like Gerrard had really sunk the ship,
but now it is a
whereas Eddie Howe was, Newcastle were doing bad, but he's over exceed. Like I think with where Villa are, where the model are, with the money they've got, I think it really pains me to say, but they could really kick, like they could be a top four side going forward for the next 5-6 years.
See, I'm not so sure about that. I think next season will be
They could overtake Liverpool next year.
It depends whether I don't know what the financial situation is, because I know a few Villa fans and they're quite worried about the financial situation this summer. So I don't know how it's going to pan out. They need to.
Well, they're really worried because the big
if
thing
they lose
for them
Douglas
is...
Luiz, then you know, I hate to see teams get promoted and sell their best player, and I think Sheffield United did that, didn't they? This year, but and I hate to see teams who get success and then they
Sheffield United did.
It's the old thing, you know, Villa finish in the top four and then sell their two best players to Chelsea who finish mid-table.
Ollie Watkins goes there. Yeah. But I think a lot more now. I think there's a lot, because comparatively back in the day you'd go from, I don't know, 20 grand a week to 100 grand a week, whereas now Villa will probably be able to, you know, not get to 350 grand a week or something, but they'd be able to say, look, right, we can give you Champions League football next year. We think Emery's the man to build on that. So you do buy into the project, which is obviously used quite a lot. But yeah.
But that goes back to what I was talking about, La Liga and everything and the strength of the Premier League. Because if you think about it, Villa getting in the top four, Newcastle did it last year. But on top of that, if you look at Isak and Watkins, they're not traditional top four teams with two of the best strikers in the league. They would absolutely be... I mean, Man United need a striker, Chelsea need a striker, Arsenal need a striker. They're probably not, none of those clubs are going to get Watkins or Isak. And that just shows you the Premier League's strength, that those two teams and Newcastle have had a bad season, will keep hold of those players. So the there's no way a Valencia or a Sevilla are going to be able to keep hold of the equivalent of that because they haven't got the money to do it. And the Premier League has its problems, but the way that we've distributed the money out means that it's harder. It's easier for these clubs to keep their better players, which should then maintain a level of competitiveness below Manchester City.
Yeah, I almost think the league's probably in one of the healthiest states.
Apart
it
from
is.
Man City.
Yeah, apart from Man City and apart from the bottom three.
Yeah.
So,
if you take Man City and the bottom three out of it, which unfortunately is the most exciting elements of any league, it's a really competitive league. But no, I think I can't, unless anyone in the chat's going to let us know, I can't see anybody other than Emery at the moment who would win Manager of the Year unless Arteta wins the league.
And just some of those performances as well that week where they beat Manchester City and Arsenal. It's not just like they've sort of snuck into the top
four. And actually, just a late entry, the only manager to beat Emery twice, home and away this season, is Ten Hag. So, FA Cup final again.
Right, you said I was
sixth in the league. Yeah. Maybe he could be a late entry.
Eric Ten Hag won manager of the season. I think the world would stop in its tracks.
I think he's overhated, really. Which, actually, I just wanted to mention Eddie Howe. Again, they lost to Palace, but I was listening to the radio this morning and people were talking about, should Eddie Howe be going this summer? I think the same as Poch and the same as Ten Hag. Like, it's... For Eddie Howe and Ten Hag, it's year three. I think it's always a three-year project.
Yeah.
They've both had a lot of injuries. They've both probably struggled because of the Champions League fallout. And Eddie Howe, for me, definitely gets another year. Newcastle probably, I thought, were going to be a little bit more ruthless.
Yeah.
But I get the sense that the money's not there to throw at it like they want to.
Maybe even to get rid of him.
Yeah, it's going to take a bit of time with that money coming through. So I can't see Eddie Howe going.
If they've struggled this year, right, they're going to get some form of European football next year. So they're still that on the cards, which they've struggled
with.
Well,
if they don't, I think they'll be better in the
league. Well, that's what I was going to say on to. I think like they would be better off with that because it's you know, all those performances against PSG, which are where the memories come from, like that, ultimately there is something in there where their league form has dipped, and especially with the way that Eddie Howe plays. So... And if they haven't got the money to spend, you know, I think they're getting that Lewis Hall in who's been there. But like the defence and the goalkeeper situation, because if the Bravka, I've not seen the goals from last night, but he was apparently honking.
They should have got there.
And then the back four, like you're left with, like, I think Lascelles has been injured, Botman's been injured. So then like you've got strength in those numbers. But I hope he does. I really like him.
It's interesting because Man United and Newcastle are fighting for sixth and Eddie Howe and Ten Hag have had different levels of, you know, scrutiny. But actually, they've had incredible injuries, Newcastle and Man United. I don't care what anybody says. They are massively in hindering when you've got to change your team virtually every week. But whoever gets sixth out of those two, I think you can sort of just go... Horrible season, sixth behind five good teams. You sort of take Europa League and you go, right, let's rebuild in the summer.
And if you're Newcastle, you're finishing above Chelsea. Like, I know Chelsea have had a stinking season, but in terms of what we think is that top six, like they've put themselves in there 2 years in a row.
I mean, Chelsea could still come through and get sixth.
Christ alive. The season is a marathon, not a sprint.
It definitely is.
Would you ever do a marathon?
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'll do it for charity.
Yeah, well, most people do.
Yeah, I'm not just going to run. Yes, I've done it. I've done it, and I've raised nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's just all for me.
You did it for myself, and I.
Yeah, sometimes you have to be a bit selfish.
Yeah,
you know, I'll say it to the missus, like, there's not enough hot water for both of us to have a bath.
Yeah, so you're I'm using biggest, my bath water.
I'm the biggest star in the house. I'm going to have a bath. No, I'd never do
that. I'm laying a turd.
I'd say, let's have one together. Nothing wrong with that. We're married.
Me and you have a bath together, we say.
No.
Sorry.
No. I know. I'm never comfortable with those pictures from the 80s where all the players are in the bath together.
Why?
Two reasons. One, it's a bath full of naked men.
Yeah.
And two, mud.
That's your own insecurity.
It's not a bath. You're just in a warm puddle.
Yeah. Puddle of shit.
Naked
basically.
With men.
Yeah. No, nothing wrong with getting in I think it's actually quite a liberating experience getting in a bath full of men naked. But I think, you can't have a bath after Sunday league because you've got floating bits of green grass. Floating bits of mud. You're bathing in your own shit.
Yeah, I remember when
it could
I used
be
to
shit
play,
in
when I always liked a muddy football affair.
Yeah,
that's not
that'd
like
be had, your novel.
That's not me having an affair with while I'm playing football
like Mills
with the right back. Come on, let's have a little cuddle. But no, I like, you know, when you played football, and there's so much mud on your knees. You're actually writing your name in it. It's like thick mud.
Yeah, yeah.
than when you first get in. Why would you have a bath after that? But I always wanted a hot bath because my legs were tired.
And the minute you've got to go shower and bath. But yeah. Then, you know, when we were growing up, Mark, the showers weren't the prominent, were they?
I didn't have a shower.
You didn't have hot water till you were 21,
I had
you?
A bath, but I didn't have a shower in my house between the age of 11 and 16. We didn't have a shower.
No,
we just had a bath.
I remember the worst one used to be for Sunday League was when I started wearing gel in my hair, the Shockwave VO5 stuff. It was actually like pouring acid in your face when it started to rain. If it would drip down, you would actually be blind.
Well, imagine this. Well, I mean, I'd be in the bath and I'd have the old Vosine or the Head and Shoulders. You wash your hair in the bath and you just go and hold your nose underneath. That's ridiculous. That's not clean water.
No.
You're not getting the suds out with that.
Yeah,
you can go under 10 times. It's like waterboarding. You're not washing your hair. You're just mixing it up with dirt and suds.
And shit.
Showers weren't always a thing.
Yeah, you can't beat a good shower.
Power shower. I went in a Hotel de Van in Birmingham about 3 months ago.
Hey, we're doing well on the podcast, aren't we?
Hey, I tell you what. Not only, the power on this shower, it's like Niagara Falls, but then it had these, you could turn these side ones on coming from the wall.
Oh, nice.
You could turn your bum into it.
Yeah, nice.
On the cheeks, not the passage. And it was
No, but that's what they should do.
Yeah, they get on your lower back.
They say those, of the what they called the ones that wash your bum.
B-Day.
They're supposed to be really good.
Never use one of them.
You never say never.
No.
Goldbridge on a B-Day.
Wet wipes.
Your channel. Wet wipes.
Talking about wet wipes, relegation battle, I think we're pretty much done, aren't we?
Need something this weekend. Obviously, Nottingham Forest still in there. Their VAR complaints not being
heard. Burnley, the amazing thing is, I was talking to a Burnley fan yesterday, actually, and imagine if Burnley stayed up. We've written them off, Vincent Kompany.
I've written them off, not even thought about them.
No, it'd be absolutely incredible if Burnley stay up. And look, they're playing Man United. Man United will give anyone a chance. Exactly. And if you go to Old Trafford and win, you're going to go, we can do anything. Like, so this is a massive weekend for Burnley, who are right up against it.
Who's Nottingham Forest got?
Man City at home. I mean, that's just an absolute waste of time, isn't it?
Well, that's the one they need to keep. They'll be dropping points, so that's fine. And then it's whether if Luton and Burnley, like Sheffield United are done, aren't they, after last night, really?
Yeah.
So then if Luton can get turned that, I just feel like that Brentford result was so damning, wasn't it? Like, I was so excited for them to try and get points. But
well, let's have a look at the weekend fixtures, because we've got Goldbridge coming up anyway, haven't we? But we've got, I mean, I was going to do a watch along for this, West Ham Liverpool. I mean, I'm just sort of like,
I'd say relax. What time is it? 12?
Half 12, yeah.
Yeah, look, think of that. You have a nice little morning.
Well, I was going to do West Ham Liverpool, Man United Burnley, and then Villa Chelsea at 8 o'clock. But I think just kill off West Ham Liverpool.
Even Villa Chelsea? I know we got to do it for the channel, but.
No, I think Villa Chelsea could be interesting because it's ahead of the North London Derby. And if Villa win it, I think they're like 6 points ahead of Spurs. So
yeah, okay.
I think that's right. Fulham Palace, that's a real on the beach game, isn't it?
Derby.
Man United Burnley, absolutely huge. Newcastle Sheffield United, nice 3 points for Newcastle. Wolves against Luton. Luton need to pull something off there.
Yeah.
Everton Brentford. Everton are safe now. Brentford are safe now. We're starting to get to that point of the season, aren't we? Where
these are the games that need to go to America.
Yeah. And also, there'll probably be like 9 goals in them.
Yeah.
And then into Sunday, you've got Bournemouth Brighton. Again, nothing happening that. Tottenham Arsenal, massive. And then Forest against Man City.
It also comes to the point, you know, you were saying that you're fighting for sixth for Europe, but it also comes at the point where sometimes, especially with the Conference League places, you almost might want to just drop out of that. Not if you're if you've never had European football, you really want to be attacking those.
I mean, the relegation battle is quite interesting. You've got Forest fourth from bottom, 26 points. You've got Luton, 25 points. And you've got Burnley, 23 points. So that, you just want something to be going towards the end of the season,
don't
you?
Yeah, but the rank thing is, it's still like, I think Forest appeal's not gone through. So like, I know it could.
How many did they get deducted, Forest?
Didn't they get 4 in the end?
I mean, even getting 1 back could be helpful, couldn't it? And then, well, no, actually, Villa are 6 points ahead of Spurs at the moment.
Yeah.
They've got 2 games in hand. So they could be 9 ahead of Spurs on Saturday night. Spurs would have 3 games in hand, but that's a lot.
Yeah, and Spurs have got to play Man City and Arsenal in those games.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Spurs. Yeah, interesting. Should we do, what's the latest on Goldbridge then?
Basically, I had another stinking week. You picked him out your arse. Bailey scored for you. Eze scored for you. And you had a clean sheet with Jordan Pickford.
So I got 3 points.
Three points. So I think you're about 15 ahead.
Do you want to give in?
No. 15
ahead.
To the end.
This is, well, but then next season, we can, you know, if we do it for enough years, we can always go, Well, remember 2024
when I think next year we do. Me. We go proper fantasy football next year.
Yeah, but this is a great game. You're just losing it. Loads of people love Goldbridge.
Shit game with a shit name.
Go on then. Let's get we have to pick five goal scorers from the weekend. A goalkeeper gets a clean sheet, and if we pick a defender who scores, you get three, which none of us have done for ages. So where are you going with this?
Let me start with the West Ham Liverpool game. I'm gonna go for a man that's been under fire, but I think he will relight his fire. And it's Darwin Núñez.
Oh, interesting. I don't think he'll even start. I'm going to go Crystal Palace, and I'm going to go Mateta. He's doing really well at the moment.
Yes, I'm just about to win my fantasy league, but someone had him on a double and a free hit.
Someone had Ben White captain the other night.
Really?
Yeah.
He said there was 961 people.
Do you think Ben White meant that second goal?
No. Even with his face, he was like...
No. People were trying to say he meant it. Like, no, absolutely not. He's trying to cross that to the back.
There was 961 people that triple-captained Mateta going into this double game week.
Geniuses.
That's... You've got
almost 1,000 geniuses there.
Our next pick would be... I'm going to go for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Last night, he was fucking bullying everyone.
On his day, he's world-class. The trouble with Calvert-Lewin is Christmas comes round more regularly than his day.
Yeah, exactly.
If you know, you know. There's only one in the year. I'm going to go... So you've gone Calvert-Lewin. I've definitely got to get in on the Newcastle act. And I'm going to go with Gordon.
She's overlap interview this week.
Very good.
Yeah, very good. I'm going to go for Isak.
It's hard to watch it, though, because I have to mute Neville. So it's a long watch for me, because every time he talks, I mute. And then sometimes you do catch a bit of a...
So silly.
You just get a word every now and again. United.
You're like the... when they try and...
I'm joking. He's one of the problem. I have watched it. I really like his attitude. I'd have him in my team of the season. Respect.
Your pick then?
Yeah, I've just said Gordon.
I said Isak.
Easy for you. So my pick three is going to be... I'll just go... I don't even know if he's fit. It doesn't really matter. I've got a 15-point gap. I'm going to go with Kuna for Wolves.
I went for him last week. Didn't score. I'll go for the North London Derby. I've said Arsenal are going to win. And I'm going to go with... Kai Havertz.
My fourth pick, it would be remiss being as I'm wearing the hoodie.
And the streak is over.
And the streak is over. I'll go Rasmus against Burnley.
Okay, Burnley, I'll go Bruno Fernandes.
Bruno Fernandes. So pick fee, five for me.
Fee, five, fo, fum.
You've got to go Man City against Forest. There'll be so many goals in that. I'm going to go with, will he pick him or not? I'll go Phil Foden.
I'm going to go defender to score, Dan Byrne.
Dan Byrne for Newcastle. I'm going to go with a Man City defender, and I'm going to go with Diaz.
Nice. And goalkeeper, I'm going to go stick with what you had last week. I'm going to go for Jordan Pickford.
I'll go for, hopefully you'll play, Dubravka.
Imagine if I'm so far ahead, behind, and then my defender, Dan Byrne, scores a hat-trick at the weekend.
We'll make it interesting.
It's not
never going to happen. It's never going to happen. What is going to happen is that this podcast has gone from sort of 12th in the UK sports charts to 5th. We're making a late charge for Champions League football. Yeah. Yeah. We started off in the top four, actually.
No, but we have to say, for clarity, we get a lovely lot of audio listeners, but our video ones have been through the roof as well. But there's no chart for that either.
There's no chart. Yeah, it's doing very well. If you want to watch it visually on That's Football, it does go up on there. But we are a podcast, and we love the fact that this is growing. I think it's growing with word of mouth, which is always the way. That's what I did with the United Stand. So keep telling people about Goldbridge Saves Football. We have the real conversations on here. They might not always be the popular ones, but who's doing it in the way that we do it, which is about you, isn't it?
Yeah, conversations like, why are you having a fish lasagna for tea?
There's nothing wrong with fish lasagna. People automatically think you've got mince and fish. Basically, it's a white sauce, which is cheese, flour and milk mixed together. You put different bits of fish in, like prawn, cod, etc., salmon. You then get some baby spinach, mix that in, bit of tarragon, and then you just layer it with the lasagna sheets, and then you put cheese on the top, bake it. It's very, very nice.
Gianfranco Zola will be having an absolute heart attack listening to that. He's Italian.
I was trying to think if he's still alive. He is.
Yeah, he's fine.
We've lost a few Italian legends recently.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But probably if they're in about that fucking fish lasagna.
We might lose another one.
Yeah, exactly. So be careful.
Gianfranco, try it. I think he might quite like it. Lasagna is my favourite dish, so I'm always looking for variants.
Why are you bastardising it then?
What else could I do? Fish lasagna.
Fish lasagna.
Normal lasagna. I've had chicken lasagna.
Fish quiche.
I've had chicken lasagna. No, it's got to be a lasagna.
Oh,
chocolate lasagna.
Oh,
pasta.
That sounds like one of them
with chocolate
things that doesn't sound good. Two words that don't sound good.
Chocolate lasagna.
Oh,
that's. Do you know what chocolate lasagna means in New York, Mark?
You've just been cancelled.
I don't know what it means.
No.
Anyway. Thank you everyone for watching. Make sure you give us your comments. Keep spreading the word. Fantastic podcast again. Big weekend. We'll be on That's Football for some watch-alongs for sure. And then we'll be back on Monday as well. Take care.
Ciao.